Father, we do thank you very much for the opportunity to preach once again. Thank you, Lord, for the many opportunities that you have given me to preach behind this pulpit. I do greatly appreciate it, Father. I pray, God, you please do a work in the hearts of the people, Lord. Fill me with your spirit and power, Lord. Help us to be a blessing and a help to the people and a good reminder, Lord, of what we should do. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Please bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The verse we just read is one instance in the Bible of pastoral counseling. Most of the time, when we go to our pastor to get counsel, it's not a life and death situation, thankfully, like this situation was. But if it is an important matter or decision, it would be good to go to our pastor for counseling. Getting pastoral counsel is not a slight against the person needing counsel, but it does mean, and it doesn't mean that they're living in gross wickedness at all, but it just means that we need some help in something. But therein lies some humility in the fact that by getting pastoral counsel, we are admitting, one, that we don't know everything, and two, that we need help. And none of those things are wrong to admit. In verse 12, we find that Bathsheba is in a dangerous place. Adonijah has thrown his own celebration party to make himself king without first having gotten godly counsel. He had Abiathar, the priest, helping him, and I think that Adonijah's plan was to restore Abiathar to the position of the high priest, and that's why Abiathar helped him. But Abiathar was a descendant of Eli the priest, and because Eli did not restrain his wicked sons, God forsook the Aaronic line of the priesthood, and from then on, he spoke through prophets and seers since the days of Samuel the prophet. But both Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet were men of God who could have given Adonijah godly counsel and would have staged off the whole situation if he had just gotten that counsel. But he did not invite Zadok the priest or Nathan the prophet to the celebration party, and he did not get counsel from them. It would have saved Adonijah a lot of shame, fear, and humiliation, but instead he rejected the godly counsel that he could have had and it endangered him later on when Solomon became king. But by doing what he did, it put Solomon and Bathsheba in great danger. Nathan the prophet came to Bathsheba and offered his counsel to help Bathsheba out of this particular situation to save her life and the life of her son Solomon. Bathsheba could have gotten proud and rejected that counsel, saying that she didn't need it, but this was a very important situation, and so she accepted the counsel from the man of God, and it worked out well in saving her life and the life of her son Solomon. Nathan had nothing to gain by giving counsel to Bathsheba. He did not charge money, and his life would not have been in danger had Adonijah become king. But Nathan knew the will of God already, and that David had already sworn to Bathsheba that Solomon would one day reign. The only gain that Solomon had was the satisfaction of seeing God's will be accomplished. But I think the value of Nathan's, we must think of the value of Nathan's counsel. It was to save her life and the life of her son. That's some pretty important counsel. And that's something that she was wise to listen to. If someone were to ask me for a list of how maybe I got to this point in my life, if you were wondering, or not just as a pastor, but as a Christian, there would be several things on that list, but one of them would be the fact that I sought and followed pastoral counseling. And many of us here have done that. I'm not trying to put myself up above anyone else, but many of us here have gotten pastoral counseling, and we all need counseling. We're going to look tonight at three main reasons why we all need pastoral counseling. So the first reason we need pastoral counseling is to help us accomplish God's will for our life. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. I don't know this for sure for everybody, but I think that when a person gets older, we tend to look back on our life and we want to see that we've accomplished something with our life. For a Christian, what could be better in this life than to have accomplished the will of God for our lives? Amen. Yes, we are promised tribulation and persecutions, and though we will have many troubles and trials in this life, it is still a better life to have. I've heard Pastor Kavanaugh up in Northwest say the Christian life is still the best life, and that's very true. To have accomplished something as lofty as God's will, What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? But how many have been able to say when they stood on the other shore that they accomplished God's will for their life? Gaining great riches is okay. It doesn't mean much. You got some of the wealthiest people in the world, some of the billionaires out there. That's all they have is, and they only have it in paper. They have it in digits in a bank account, online. And people are trying to hack their money all the time. And that's all they got. But to have, at the end of our life, to have accomplished the will of God, to stand before God and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," what could be better than that? The first purpose of pastoral counseling is to help us accomplish God's will. Letter A underneath that, if you're taking notes, salvation is the first step in doing God's will, but that is not all there is of God's will. 1 John 2:17, "And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Salvation gives a person eternal life, living forever in heaven with God. I got saved on December 15th of 2004, and the day we all got saved was the start of us accomplishing God's will, but that was not all that God had in store for us. That was not His entire plan for our lives. Yes, this verse is talking about salvation, but it's also saying that if we do the will of God, then we will abide forever. We will remain in the will of God. And when we remain in the will of God, we will remain in the blessings of God. And that's what we want. Jesus did the will of His Father every time in every situation, and He never fell to the temptation. He never fell in sin. He abode in the will of God forever. And so will we if we seek to do God's will in every situation. Salvation is the first step in doing God's will, but that's not all there is to doing the will of God. When I was in high school, and for many of us here, Pastor Ross mentioned in several of his sermons the importance of going to Bible college after we graduated from high school. And so I talked to him about where I should go, and he recommended Commonwealth and Providence as good options to go for Bible college. And he even said that from the pulpit, you know, there's different colleges where he's kind of hesitant. You got to watch out for this area. But he said, "Where is that area at Commonwealth?" Now, this was back in 2008, so I'm not saying it's the same now. As far as I know, it's the same. But so I decided to go to Commonwealth and finish my and continue my education there. After graduating from Commonwealth, I was planning on going back there for my master's degree and hopefully, of course, my mister's degree. But I talked to Pastor Ross about it, and he advised me to go to Providence Baptist College and to get my master's degree there. And so I did. I followed that counsel. I went to Providence and got both my master's and my mister's. Amen? That's a great thing. That was a good day for me. I don't know if it was a good day for her or not, but it was a good day for me. You pray for her, okay? But because I listened to and obeyed the counsel that Pastor Ross gave me, I not only got a better education, but I also found God's will for my life and a spouse. And we've been married now for 10 years, all because of following the counsel of my pastor. Several others here could give the same testimony that because they follow the counsel of Pastor Ross, they have met the one they were supposed to marry. And there is more to doing God's will than just marrying the right person. And our pastor can and will counsel with us about different situations we should make. The man of God can help us find the will of God for our lives. When we were about to go see the church in Minden after we got back, and after that about several different matters, I've gotten counsel from Pastor Ross about different situations. Two Sundays ago, we were sitting in his office, and we were asking him about the house we're looking at now. And the inspector had come, and there were several issues with it and several pretty serious issues with it. And we were wanting them to fix about five. They wanted the seller to fix about five things. Well, at the time of the counseling, my realtor had told me they were only going to fix one of those five things. And so we weren't sure if we should do it or not. It was the only house that was available in our price range, and it was the only house that we would be able to close on in the time frame that we need to be there. So this counseling was going to determine whether or not we were going to buy this house or we were going to rent somewhere. So we asked Pastor Ross about it. He recommended we just take it as an investment property and fix it up like we've done the house here and sell it, maybe get a better place later on. And so that was Sunday night. So I went home, talked to my realtor, and she said that she was going to email me a paper that I needed to sign for the go-ahead, that we're just going to continue this process. And about 20 minutes later, she called me. And she said that she was missing a document from the seller's realtor and that she would get back with me the next morning, on Monday morning. We're supposed to sign this thing at noon on Monday. So this is kind of really close. So lo and behold, she calls me about 9:20 that morning and informs me that she got the document from the seller's realtor. And then the document states that the seller is now going to fix 4 out of the 5 things that we wanted fixed. If we had not gotten counseling from our pastor, we would be looking for a rental place, and you never know what you're going to get in a rental place. It can be very interesting sometimes what you get in a rental place. It can look all nice and beautiful on the outside, but anyone who, you know, it could be terrible on the inside. But renting would have been twice as expensive. To get a house in a decent area for what we're looking at with the size of bedrooms, it would have been around $1,300 a month, plus utilities to be able to rent a place. And a lot of times you got rental contracts and stuff like that, and it's just a big mess. And it just wouldn't have been good. And I can tell you that even though we're moving down to Minden, this is not the last time Pastor Ross is going to hear from me. That poor man. You pray for your pastor, because I'm going to be blowing up his phone. I'm going to send him a text message that says, "Watch out, C4 coming." You know? And I'm going to need his counsel. And since he has a track record in my life of giving me wise counsel, why would I not ask for his counsel? A man who's been this far in the ministry, it'd be very foolish of me not to ask for his advice on different situations. When we have a dinner on the grounds here, and we have a sign-up list for the ladies to make food, like the food trucks, like guys, you can do it too, it's okay. Bring something barbecue. Man, Brother Tucker is coming up from Louisiana for the ordination. I should have him bring some crawfish. How many of y'all have eaten crawfish? Man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it or not, honestly. I don't know, brother. I mean, you went over to the Philippines and had that weird balut. You can have it, brother. I don't know. I don't know. We got a song on our bus, you know. How does it go? The Be a Missionary song. Eat whatever comes your way. You don't need a skillet, just chew it till you kill it, you know. I don't know. The South needs help. The South needs help. We're just going to have to go down and evangelize those poor heathen down there. So, but anyway, when we have a dinner on the grounds here, we have a sign-up list for ladies to make food. Usually if a lady does not know what to make, she goes with what she knows will work because it tastes good, and she knows it tastes good and that people like it. It's been proven. And Pastor Ross's counsel has been proven. Every time I've gotten counsel from Pastor Ross, and I obeyed that counsel. That's the key phrase there. And I obeyed that counsel. It has worked out well in my life. And many of you here today can avow to that statement. Why? Because it was biblical counsel, and whenever you correctly divide the Word of God and obey it, it will work out well every time. I'm not trying to make a pope out of him, but I'm telling you the truth, folks. He is one of my heroes, but he would not be if his counsel had failed every time. He wouldn't be. He is one of my heroes because the Lord has used him to help me so much, and he has helped many in this church and still wants to be a help, but unasked for advice is seldom heeded and often resented. We have to ask him for the counsel, and if we do, he would be able, with God's help, to help us. Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A man of understanding understands the fact that he does not know it all. and that he also needs counsel, and he will get it, and he will heed it. Salvation is the first step to doing God's will, but that's not all there is of the will of God. Letter B, accomplishing God's will make us happy and joyful. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. The Lord wants us to be happy and joyful. He wants us to have a good life. He wants that. Yes, he promised tribulation, they're going to come, but just remember that the Christian life is still the best life. It still is. If we look really carefully and we count our many blessings, we will be able to see that we have far more blessings than we have problems. But the problems of our lives tend to take away from our happiness and joy. Some problems are more complicated than others, and we need help from our pastor to help us navigate through these different situations that arise. When problems arise in our lives, the devil tries to get us to doubt God and his love for us and to doubt his care over us. Problems come like storms into our lives and cloud up our days so that we focus our vision on the problems and not on the provision of God. Lester Roloff said, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that he could solve them. And that's a very true statement. Getting counsel from our pastor would be wise in those situations because he can help us see the biblical solution to our problems. As a pastor, I do not want my people to be burdened down with problems, and neither does Pastor Ross. He doesn't want that for any of us. He's available. Yes, he's busy. But every pastor, especially our pastor, will make himself available to help us if we ask him for it. But we have to ask him for it. He wants to help us through our situations and difficulties, and he'll give us counsel according to the word of God, which if we obey it, it will cause us to be happy and joyful. Letter C, if we accomplish God's will by obeying his word. Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and ye shall be a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The blessings of God will be received by those who obey his word. Obedience to God's word is obedience to God's will. If we do not read the word of God, we're not going to find out the will of God. But light obeyed will result in more light being given. That means that if God shows us a truth from the Bible and we obey it, that he will bless us and he will give us more light, which if we obey that, then he will bless us and he'll give us more light, and the process keeps going on and on and it keeps resulting in blessings over and over. We want blessings. We want blessings, yes? Yes. All right, we want blessings. And so the more we obey the will of God, the more blessings we'll receive. There are some who may say that they did not receive a blessing from God the last time they obeyed his word. Brother Kavanaugh told us a story of a young man. I may have told this here before, I'm not sure. But he was a new Christian, and he was struggling. He was trying to get this down, this matter of tithing. And he came to a problem. He was a single dad. I think he had two little girls, and he needed to get a new washer for his house so he could do laundry. And he was a single dad, of course. He didn't have anything else, and it just so happened that the money he needed to buy a new washer was the money that he was going to use to pay his tithe. And so he struggled with it for a while, but eventually he surrendered to the Lord, gave his tithe. And lo and behold, that weekend, he gave it on Wednesday, and by that weekend, someone donated a washer to him. Now, that doesn't happen every time we give our tithe. You say, if we say that we did not receive a blessing from God last time we obeyed his word. I was reading a prayer to St. Jude on a votive candle at Dollar General. And if you want to read something really sad, you read the thing sometimes. It's depressing. Those poor people. In the prayer, they were requesting noticeable and prompt aid. That's good. And that's what many people want. They want noticeable help, and they want it now. They don't want to wait. And in return for St. Jude's help, they promise that they will be ever mindful of this great favor and will always honor him as their most powerful guardian. That sounds like leverage to me. But some may say they did not receive a noticeable and prompt blessing from God the last time they obeyed his word. Let me just say this. The smile on God's face, if we receive nothing else, is a blessing. Let me back up and say that again. The smile on God's face is a blessing. Okay, there we go. Making sure you're awake here. If we receive nothing else, that is a great blessing. I would rather have his smile than his judgment. It is God's will for us to obey his word. Here's another benefit of having a godly pastor. Again, I don't know. This is just a speculation number I'm throwing out. I do not know how many hours Pastor Ross spends in study for each sermon. But I'm just going to go out on a guess. I'm not saying this is fact. He hasn't told me this. I'm just going to go out on a guess and say it's about 4 hours per sermon. Yes. So 4 sermons a week, that's 16 hours in a week in Bible study for his sermons. At 52 weeks a year, that's 832 hours of Bible study and sermon prep, let alone the sermons he studies for when he preaches out and for all the books that he has written. Now, he's been in the ministry for 40 years, okay? About 40 years. That's over 33,000 hours of Bible study. That's a lot of Bible study. And I think it's safe to say that our pastor has, at least a slightly better handle on the Word of God than you and I do. I think it's safe to say. Therefore, it would be very wise for us to go to such a resource as our pastor for biblical counseling. He would be able to help us out very much. In these many years, I think our pastor can say, as Moses did in Deuteronomy 4:5, "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it." We accomplish God's will by obeying his word. Letter D, we accomplish God's will when we are good stewards of what the Lord has given to us. Luke 16:2, "And he called them and said to them, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." A steward is one who is put in charge of the assets and property of another. Joseph was such a good steward that the Bible says that Potiphar didn't know what all he had except for the bread that was in front of him when he ate. And what we have in our homes is not our own. The homes we have, the children we have, the grandchildren we have, the cars we drive, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, the money we make, none of it belongs to us. None of it belongs to us. All the things we have are a gift from God to us, and he is allowing us to use it, but it all belongs to God. And we will give an account one day before the Lord of our stewardship of what we did with what he allowed us to have. But there are times when we were needing to make a decision about buying and selling, about investing money, about child rearing, about moving, about giving, etc., that we need counsel about. If we are not good stewards of God's property that he has given to us, then why should he give us more? And what is preventing him from taking away that which we have? And so it's important that we should get godly counsel to help us accomplish God's will for our lives. The second reason we should get godly counsel would be because the consequences of our decisions will be felt by generations to come. Daniel chapter 9, verse 16, "O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us." In this verse, we see Daniel asking for God's anger and fury to be turned away from Jerusalem, saying that Israel is a reproach to all those about them because of their sins and the sins of their fathers. The decisions that we make will affect our children and grandchildren for many years to come. And we do not know how it's going to affect them. And just because we may think, oh, this the decision we're about to make isn't that much of a big deal, it might be more a big deal than we think it is. And we would need, we'd be wise to get godly counsel about that situation. Let me read 1 Samuel 13. Verse 13 and 14, "And Samuel said to Saul, Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. If Saul had just waited on Samuel for the sacrifice, his kingdom would have continued through Jonathan his son and on down the line. Mephibosheth may have been king, I don't know, because he is a son of Jonathan, but we would have never heard of David. All the future kings would have been the descendants of Saul. The decisions we make, that one decision cost his son and his grandson and all the way down the line from having the rule over Israel, from being God's anointed one. All the future kings would have been descendants of Saul. The decisions we make will affect our children and grandchildren. With decisions carrying that much weight, it would be wise to get godly counsel. Rehoboam got counsel from the older men who stood before Solomon, his father. Good idea. Problem was, he didn't listen to it. Right. He went and got counsel from the young men, and it split the kingdom, and there was a lot more problems that happened after that. And he and his children never ruled over as much as they should have. We need to get counsel on important decisions. And even if you just want a second opinion, what harm could there be in getting advice from our pastor? Nothing wrong with a second opinion. Proverbs 18:7 says, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him." If we are thinking one way and explain that way we're thinking to our pastor and we ask for his opinion, the Holy Spirit might just show him a danger in our thinking that we didn't see. And it can help us avoid a pitfall in our life, something that could cost us a lot or a little, but I don't want it to cost me anything, right? And it never hurts to get counsel from our pastor. We need to get counsel to help us accomplish God's will, because the consequences of our decisions will be felt by generations to come. The third reason we need to get counsel from our pastor would be to help us give a good account of our lives at the judgment seat. Hebrews 13:17, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Romans 14, verse 10, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Pastor Robert Ross said it frequently, live life with one eye in the judgment seat. That's a good thing. In Hebrews 13:17, it seems that the Bible says that it will be unprofitable for me if my pastor has to give a grievous account of my time in this church when he stands before God. I want my pastor to be able to stand tall before the Lord and give a good record of my time here at Blessed Hope. I don't want him to tell the Lord that I fought him or did my best to cause as many problems as I could while I was here. I don't want him to tell the Lord that he was glad when I left and the church was better off without me. I don't want him to tell the Lord that he preached as best he could, but I refused to grow as a Christian. I don't want my pastor to tell the Lord that I got counseling from him, but I refused to do anything he said. That would be unprofitable for me before the Lord. And what about when we personally have to stand before the Lord ourselves? After our pastor has given that record of our lives, and then the Lord comes back with, "Hey, what did you do this for?" We don't want to do that. Will we personally be able to hold up our faces to Christ, or will we have our heads bowed in shame the whole time? There are some people who are going to weep a river of tears at the judgment seat. I understand we're all going to weep some, but I don't want to have to weep any more than I have to. And you don't want to either. Remember Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 13, which says, "And he gave some apostles, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Our pastor is a gift from God. The Bible just said so. Let me try that again. Our pastor is a gift from God. There we go. God has been especially good to us here by giving us such a pastor. He doesn't, shout his own accolades, so I'm going to do a little bit. He is sought after all of the nation. There's a reason why he preaches it national Sword of the Lord conferences in North Carolina. You don't preach a national conference without being a national pastor. There's a reason why he just got done preaching all the way in Virginia, why he's preached all the way up in Alaska, why he's preached at so many youth conferences throughout the years and so many other places across the country. We just had Missionary Hardecker, who, as you could see, has been very influenced by our pastor. And he's in the Philippines on the other side of the world. Our pastor is influencing people across the world. And not just from the live stream either, but also through his books and personal counseling. Pastors call him all the time for counsel. They do. And we get to have him as our pastor. A person can choose to belittle him and devalue him all they want to, but that person will be missing out. And the fact remains that we have one of the greatest preachers of our time as pastor of this church. There are hundreds of churches in this country that would give anything to have our pastor as their pastor. And I think it's safe to say that there are some pastors in churches across this country who would gladly resign their churches if Pastor Ross would come be their pastor just so that they could sit under his preaching and hear his counsel. They would count it an honor to be under a man such as Pastor Jerry Ross, yet we get to have him as our pastor. We can disdain the gift of God in our pastor and go get some extra biblical counseling if we want to, but that's not biblical. You're not going to find in the Word of God where it says, the Lord gave you a shepherd and you're supposed to go to another shepherd to get counsel. He said, the Lord gave us a pastor. He gave us a shepherd. We are to go to him to get counsel. Dr. Jack Treiber in California is a great man of God, but he's not my pastor. And if I went to him for counsel, he would not be able to help me anywhere near as well as my pastor. And why is that? He's not my shepherd. He's not. We tell young people to get counsel from their parents because no one knows them better than their parents. Next after that, no one knows us better than our pastor. If he didn't care about us, folks, he wouldn't have stayed here for the past 30 years. He cares about us. He loves us. He wants to help us. He has invested his life in this church. Let's get back to getting counsel from our own pastor. Why should we get biblical counsel? To help us accomplish God's will for our lives, because the consequences of our decisions will be felt by generations to come, and 3, to help us give a good account of our lives at the judgment seat of Christ. And let's pray. Father, thank you very much for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor and the great gift that you have given to us in our pastor. Help us not to devalue him, Lord, or think him not wise or uncaring about our situations. But please help us, Lord, to go to our pastor, to humble ourselves, to go to our pastor that you have given to us and get the counsel we need. That way we can be better servants for you and accomplish your will for our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this message. Please bless. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.